everyone. Welcome to Podcast Insider. Chris, I want to say hello to my co-host, Mr. Mike Dell. How you doing, Mike?
Doing good, Todd. You know, for what it is, we're surviving. So that's good.
You know, and this, I don't know about you, but this week has just been, woo! I'm like, I woke up this morning and said, it's Thursday already? We've been busy. You've been busy. Yeah. I've been busy. It's like yesterday was kind of death by meeting for me, but you know, it's really, you know, it's meeting with, I shouldn't say that. It's horrible. It's meeting with clients, meeting with team members. So,
well, you know, these Zoom calls and all that just, you know, sort of suck the energy out of you. But, you know, while you're in the call, it's pretty okay. And you get done with it and you're ready to collapse.
Yeah, I don't. And there's a little bit of phenomena with it. It's like it's not you're working, but your brain power is working. But I tell you, folks, podcasting is alive and well. And many of you started second shows, and it's kind of amazing to watch this. Businesses are jumping on with both feet. So today we're going to talk a little bit about news, of course, has some best practices. We've got some stuff talking about with Blueberry. We've got a great interview. This is an interesting interview, Mike. And this is from lands you used to, I guess, traverse, right?
Oh, I did an interview, which we'll play in the recorded version. You'll hear it here. But yeah, I talked to a gal that lives up in Iceland, and I used to live in Iceland, and we had a great conversation. I hadn't been there in, you know, 29 years, but it sounds like it's the same old place, just grown up. And we had a great conversation about her podcast called All Things Iceland.
Awesome. So is it going to be like a travel scope a little bit too, or
a little bit. And then, you know, she turned around and interviewed me for her show. So, so if you want to hear the rest of the story, you go listen to her show.
Well, awesome. So we'll play that for the recorded version, not for those of you that are watching live, but we do have some support stuff going on today. Some important things you're going to want to really pay attention to, especially if you're a WordPress user. Let's get into the news. So are people spending more time listening to podcasts during this craziness pandemic we have going on?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, it's all over the place. You know, you see one news story where podcast is down, and then you hear another one where podcasts are up. And I think this article here, it's from Inside Radio. I honestly think that for the most part, it is up, but certain segments are down. I don't know. You've looked into the stats a little bit, but I think this is an opportune time for podcasters to get up, to get more content out there.
Well, I think too is that I haven't looked at it since we did our report, but. You know, Pandora said stuff had been down, but it's back up. And so it's all over the place. But
yeah,
I really think it's about content and about engagement and what people are doing. I know my personal show. Well, first of all, this show's up. Yep. New Media show's up. Geek News Central's up. All my shows are up. But what are those three shows? So Geek News Central is a new show. Podcast Insider is largely news and talk. And then this show is news and information. So they're saying that Apple's even saying they're looking at new shows a lot because new stuff is up. People are searching out information. So maybe that's the key here. I don't know. I've never found a fault with it, but it looks like some personalities are getting back into it. Montel Williams. Remember Montel Williams, Mike?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He did that talk show for a long time. And he's bringing back his podcast.
So what is it called? The Montel Williams show, or
it's called Let's Be Blunt.
Oh, Let's Be Blunt.
Yeah.
Oh, so are they, never mind. I won't even go there.
I don't know what it's about, but he must have taken a hiatus from it because it's a relaunch.
Okay.
And it's got a distribution partnership with iHeart Podcast Network and all that. And
iHeart has a podcast network?
Apparently. That's what it says here. A distribution partnership with iHeart Podcast Network. So,
also, it's interesting. I wonder if Spotify got their checkbook out because This American Life is now on Spotify.
Yeah, I don't know why they weren't in the beginning. Well, I guess maybe they do. They had an exclusive with Pandora for a while for that type of stuff. So maybe they had sort of a non-compete thing going on there. But they are now on Spotify along with Serial, although I don't think Serial's put out a new episode in a while.
Yeah. So if you listen to This American Life, we'd really love to have some feedback from you. Are you hearing? I don't listen to the show personally. Do you? If you are hearing ads in front or back of that show, and I wonder if Spotify is selling ads on that inventory. So I guess time will tell. But if you're a This American Life fan, you can now listen to it on Spotify.
Sure.
But there's a story about Microsoft. What's going on there?
Yeah, Microsoft has an app called Your Phone. And that's for the Windows 10 PCs and for Android phones. And kind of like what Apple does between a Mac and an iPhone, you know, where you can get texts on your computer from your phone and, you know, answer phone calls on your computer from your phone. And now they've added where you can control your music and your podcasts through your PC on your phone. I don't know how useful that would be, but it sounds pretty interesting.
So what are you actually using to listen to podcasts directly on Microsoft Your Phone app? Is that what it's called, the Your Phone app?
Yeah, it's called Your Phone app, and I don't know what app they're using, if maybe that app has podcasts and music, but no, it'll handle, there we go, I'm reading in the story here. It says you can use Spotify, Pandora, Amazon Music, Google Play Music, YouTube Music, a bunch of other, Google Podcasts, so it'll control all that stuff, it looks
all right. Well, Microsoft's given some tools, and you remember back in the early days, Microsoft had the Zune player. Matter of fact, I think I've got one on the shelf behind me someplace.
Yeah,
that to be able to listen to podcasts. That's long gone. Of course, Microsoft Phone is largely gone as well. But hey, Mike, are you wearing
pants?
I have
some sort of stake in Nokia, but yeah. I think Nokia is all Android now, I believe.
Yeah. So, Mike, are you wearing pants?
Well, sort of. Shorts.
Oh, you're wearing shorts. So I'm wearing pants. I actually had to demonstrate that yesterday on another show. So because pants aren't necessary, of course, when you're working from home. But if you're in a Zoom meeting or participating in a national TV broadcast, you might want to wear pants.
Right. One of the reporters from Good Morning America on ABC got caught not wearing pants on camera. I mean, he was wearing shorts, I'm sure. But well,
I don't think he was wearing shorts. I think he was in his boxers, I think.
Yeah, could be.
It appeared to be at me. The angle I had was you only could see, you know, part of his bare leg and whatever he was wearing. At least he had something on. So, if you're going to do live, at least check your, because here's the thing, too. When we do this show, we do this live. Mike can't see completely everything I see, so I have to send him back a video feed of what I have. And today we made a small adjustment because we could see a little bit too much of – there was too much air gap on one side of his room.
Right.
And he couldn't see it, but I could because his camera showed him a perfect view. But when it came into my system, I got a little more – I don't know if it's a little more depth. So just be aware of that. What you see on your camera may not be – what other people see. So keep that in mind. Always do a test call.
Yeah. Well, it was funny. And, and they treated it pretty lightheartedly on Good Morning America. But that was pretty funny when the camera panned out. You could tell he was wearing a suit jacket and pants. So.
Well, anyway, typical for the season, a little bit, that's a little fun. So, but best thing about podcasts, if you don't do video, you're just doing audio. You could podcast naked. We don't care, right? It's if you're just doing your show, that could be your internal chuckle, or maybe you could share too much information with your audience.
Right.
Talk a little bit about best practices. Talk about your show title, your episode titles, author tags. And matter of fact, some service just launched, I think we talked about last week, that helps you with SEO, but we can help you right here without having to go too far. So let's talk about best practices when it comes to show titles, episode titles, author tags, and other metadata.
Yeah, the thing is, a lot of times people will name their shows, and they've taken some old advice about SEO, so they cram all kinds of keywords and descriptions and stuff into the overall title of your show. And the way I like to think about it myself is, you know, if you're watching a TV show, you know, it's not called MASH, a story about Korea, blah, 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 in the title. It's just called MASH. Okay. Right. Well, your podcast title should just be a title. And Apple has been known to remove people from their directory for adding things long, like that.
Yeah, long titles, you know.
Yeah, or even the host name. So, you know, we don't want to, you know, like if we named this show Podcast Insider with Todd Cochran and Mike Dell, Apple would kick us out eventually. Right. And, right. you know, so that, there's other places for that kind of info.
And specifically, of course, your author tag. Your author right. tag is for your host or host names, not metadata that says, that's helping you try to get SEO advantage by putting a description in where the author is. Because you can put in there that potentially the Blueberry Podcast, but that might even...
Yeah, that's very close to the edge. Very
close to the edge. So it's typically you want to use the true name of the people that are actually the host of the show. And of course, the description is where, you know, you spend that time to define that show's description. And, you know, that should be a good, healthy paragraph that concisely describes what that podcast is about, because it not only is going to help in, it's not necessarily going to help you in Apple Podcasts, but it may help you on Google when people go searching for podcasts sure. that way. So you just can't plan for Apple. You have to plan for the whole ecosphere for Android and everything else. So put in a good description for your show. And again, don't be stuffing it full of keywords, because what we have found over the years is that the search engines love natural contextual content, and they're pretty smart at detecting when you put in their business. You put in a whole bunch of keywords around business, sales, marketing. If you have that just kind of like in a row, if it's a business show about marketing and sales, discussing with experts in the field of whatever, that's how the search engines want to discover that content. They don't want it, any keyword games going on.
They don't want it stuffed with keywords and whatnot. You know, I tell a story about a guy a couple of years ago, had his keywords stuffed, and you know, he asked me for some other advice, and I said, well, this is unsolicited, but you might want to change that title. He said, oh, no, it's fine. I've been doing it for years. Okay, fine. And he got kicked out of Apple right before Christmas.
And it was right around when he had some special episodes coming out too.
Yeah. And so, you know, he was off of Apple for, you know, the couple of weeks that Apple was on Christmas break. And he was a believer after that. So,
right. So let's talk a little about seasons. Do you need them? You know, again, seasons only work on Apple.
Yeah.
Otherwise that tag is ignored. And depending on your show, it may not be worth it. Now, we've actually had some people in PowerPress recently accidentally put a season number in their episode. So we encourage everyone to look at their shows in Apple Podcasts if you're using PowerPress, and make sure that all of a sudden you don't have seasons showing up. And if you do, you need to go to that specific episode that has a season number and remove that from the episode section. We're making some changes to PowerPress to make that much, much harder to do. It was just too easy to tab it over into that field and put right. a one, we found out. So a few people have got caught up in that. But seasons, though, Mike, you know what I've said about seasons, right?
Oh, yeah. Start season two on Monday after season one ends on Friday.
That's right. So there is no, you know, I know a lot of people do 13 shows and they take a 3-month break, and there's reasons for people doing seasons. We get that. But for the first 2 years, steady, continuous growth of a show, most podcasts cannot afford to have off time. Right. They cannot afford to be away for a long time unless they really discuss that with their audience and understand the ramifications of taking time off.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen some applications where seasons work, you know, like one of the shows I listen to, they do, you know, like Microsoft versus Apple for, you know, they do 4 or 5 episodes about that. And then they do 4 or 5 about Coke versus Pepsi, that kind of thing.
Yep.
But they just put it in the titles, you know, kind of, because, you know, they put like, you know, the title of the series and then the, you know, the name of the episode in the episode titles.
But remember, Apple does not like you putting
numbers in there.
Numbers and episodes of series numbers in your title. So you have to be careful with that now.
Sure. And, you know, and the nice thing about that, though, is most platforms, and ours specifically, let you specify a title just for Apple.
Yep.
That only shows on Apple Podcasts, keeps them happy, and then you can put the season number and episode number in the title itself, and that works for all platforms. You know, tag only works for Apple.
So. Yeah. So, you know, I use that tag a lot. I put in all my blog posts for my show. I put in, I think we even do it for this show, so we put the title and the number.
Yep.
And then what shows up on Apple, though, is just the title. The number isn't there. We put the episode in the episode box. So,
and there's an episode number box that shows up differently on Apple, which they like. So that's what we do for this show, and I do for my shows as well.
Yeah. And some people still, you know, ID3 tags, well, you know, they're not as important anymore. Apps are not just relying on those to pick up information. Right. They don't hurt. But what I have often found, and what it used to be, is people used to download a lot of podcasts to the desktop.
Right.
So they would go into desktop, and in the directory folders, they would see these episodes, and ID3 tags helped when people were consuming a lot of content on the desktop. That doesn't happen very much anymore. So most people are just looking at the app, the metadata that comes in through your show notes and everything is carried through, and not necessarily the album art. That changes. There's only a few apps that even support secondary album art, and that's not even coming from the ID3 tags.
Yeah, there's only one that uses the ID3 tags, and you know.
But. I still do ID3 tags. I guess I'm old school. But one show I do, another show I don't. The New Media show I don't put any ID3 tags in, and for Geek News Central I do. I don't. Do we do for this show?
Yeah. Nah, we don't generally. I mean, I think that PowerPress writes them automatically.
By PowerPress.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, anyway, that's what's going on for best practices. So again, show titles, make them concise. Episode titles, again, concise episode titles. You're writing for Google, not for your listeners. Author tags is basically your author names. And of course, that season utilization. So anyway, best practices, employ them, use them, and have good results. So let's talk a little bit about what's going on at Blueberry.
Yeah, so we got one last fix coming out today. Hopefully, Ben says it's going to release today. So 8.2.11, which has that little tweak in there to make it not as easy to accidentally make a season.
And a few other small things,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, a few other little tweaks. And then the next update after that should be 8.3 with a whole lot of new features.
Whole lot. You know, one thing is amazing is we've been seeing unprecedented downloads and updating of PowerPress. 30,000-40,000 people are updating between releases, which is truly amazing. It shows the viability of PowerPress and the importance of it. Matter of fact, Mike, most of the new customers you've had coming in recently have been WordPress/PowerPress versus just coming into our website and using the Blueberry Publisher or signing up for PowerPress site. So that tells me the core continues to be the core of our users are still big fans of the WordPress PowerPress. Again, if you're a new listener to the show, you don't have to have a WordPress site. We give you one if you don't have one, or if you don't want a WordPress site at all, you can always publish just strictly through blueberry.com. And don't forget about grabbing a free 30-day trial if you haven't grabbed one already, and use the code Insider as your promo code.
Yep.
So affiliate payments, they went out last week.
Yeah.
So
in the newsletter, I think it went out yesterday or the day before, something like that. So if you're an affiliate, you should check your PayPal.
So that's good news for many of you getting checks. And also, we want you to check out our recent blog post of Get the Most Out of the Guest. Love to have some feedback on what you think about our recent blog post. We've had a new writer writing for us at Blueberry. So we're kind of looking for how are the articles resonating with you? Are you getting good information out of it? If you leave a comment on the blog, that's a great way to provide feedback as well. But again, recent blog post of ours is Get the Most Out of Your Guests. There'll be a part two to that series, I think, coming out this or next week, maybe. I don't know. Or I have to look at the publishing schedule, but
right.
Definitely, it's good information out there, and we want you to make sure, of course, while you're on the podcastinsider.com website, subscribe to this podcast, and at the same time, check out all the great posts we have there with you. This show's show notes are full of stuff that we have. So we have very rich show notes at Podcast Insider. So make sure you get over there and look that up.
And we always link to everything we talk about as well. So if you know anything we talk about in the show, we always try to make sure we link it. So
that's right. So Mike, our interview is up. We have an interview. Let's talk about who this interview. Well, you've talked a little bit about it. We'll just give a short intro and we'll roll into it.
Yeah, I talked with Jules Chambers, and she has lived in Iceland for 4 years now. She's married to an Islander up there, so very interesting interview. Hello, Jules. Thanks for being on Podcast Insider.
My pleasure. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, so you do an interesting show. I've been listening to the last couple of episodes, and geez, I think I'm going to be on one. but you do a show called All Things Iceland? Or
yes.
Yeah, okay, very good. And you're an American that is married to an Icelandic citizen? Is that how that works? All
yep.
right. Well, we always like to talk about the origin story. What got you into podcasting? You know, a little bit about, you know, what got you started? What made you want to do this crazy medium?
Yeah, I had a few. So I've been in Iceland almost 4 years. And if you had told me that I would be podcasting, you know, 4 years ago, I wouldn't have ever believed that. It was never my intention to move to Iceland and start a podcast about the country. So once I moved here though, I really started to fall in love with the country, and I kept finding different resources to learn about it. And as I'd been listening a lot to Tim Ferriss, who's a pretty popular podcaster, I just found myself binge listening and thinking, oh, this would be so interesting if I could find a podcast that does interviews or just different types of things about Iceland so I can learn more and feel like I'm acclimating to the culture. And I was looking around for it, but I didn't find anything that fit what I wanted, which was a mix of things. And I started toying around with the idea then of creating my own podcast, which seemed like a monumental task, right? It's just like, oh no, I work full time. How am I gonna, you know, get this off the ground? I don't know anything about the equipment. I don't know anything about editing. It was just, it felt like this is not a good idea, but it just stayed with me. And to my surprise, it was just like, you know, I'm gonna figure it out. I'm just gonna Google around, find, you know, information about stuff on YouTube and whatever else. And it just evolved after that. And it was, I think, the best decision that I've made was to do this.
Yeah, it's the thing about it. Yeah, that's kind of how I got into podcasting too. Is, you know, I liked certain shows, but the show that I wanted to listen to didn't exist, so I made one.
Exactly.
And that sounds very much like what you've done. Now, how did you find yourself in Iceland of all places?
So, as you mentioned, my husband is Icelandic, and he was living in the U.S. for 8 years. And funny enough, this story is kind of ridiculous. So the way that we met, though, was almost 13 years ago. And I was going to college in the Albany area in this school called RPI. And there was another Icelandic, there's another person who's from Iceland that was going to the school. And I ended up meeting him at a party. And this is the first person I've ever met from Iceland. We became friends, and eventually he said that, you know, I'm going to have some Icelandic friends visit me, so you should come over and meet them. And I was like, okay, cool. And one of those people happens to be, you know, my future husband, which I have no idea about. And we don't get together then. I mean, this is, you know, just meeting him. But at that time, Facebook was becoming a thing. So when Orre, who was my friend at school, Facebook friended me, Gunnar, who is my husband, he also Facebook friended me, and we just kind of kept in contact over all of these years. So going from 13 years to maybe about like 7 years after that is when the both of us were single at the same time. He was living in the US. I was living in New York City. I went back home to work and live. And we just ended up becoming a couple and doing long distance for 3 years before he moved back to Iceland. I was already determined when I first met him, because he told me that, you know, it was his dream to go back and live in Iceland. And I just thought, that's great. I'm going to go with you. Not knowing anything about Iceland, right? Like I could barely find it on the map. And I'm just like, yeah, sure. Why not?
It is quite a culture shock between New York City and pretty much anywhere in Iceland.
Yeah. So. Yeah. That's true. So, but I think it was the best thing in terms of, I was ready to leave New York. New York is an amazing place. It will always be, you know, a big part of my life. It helped to make me who I am. But going to a place like Iceland or Reykjavik, where the city, you know, is like 270,000 people or something, it's so small, and yet it feels very big in its own way. Like, it has its own personality, own character, and there's a lot going on in the downtown area. So I'm not saying it's like New York at all, but that was what attracted me to this place, is that there's a lot of nature, but you can still get an urban feel in the downtown area if that's something that you're looking for. So yeah, it was a decent mix.
Oh yeah. That's, you know, the reason I know a little bit about Iceland is, as we talked about on your show, mm-hmm. I was there about 30 years ago with the military. And, you know, of course, it has changed a lot. But, yeah, it was quite a culture shock for me. And I'm from a relatively rural place in northern Michigan. So, you know, it was similar in that way. But, yeah, it's a very cool place. Mm-hmm. You got to listen to her episode with me on it when it comes out.
Yeah.
You know, to hear more about that. But so, yeah, your show, tell me a little bit about, you know, what do you talk about on your show? What sort of show is it?
Yeah. So I named it All Things Iceland because I am a super curious person, and I didn't want it to feel like I'm only going to talk about travel or I'm only going to interview people. So I literally hit on every different type of topic, from culture to language. And in episodes where I'm talking either to an Icelandic person or just by myself, you're always learning a new Icelandic word or phrase. So I structure the show, if it's by myself, to have the topic. And then at the end, there are two segments where it's the random fact of the episode where I add in something else that's kind of bizarre, but, you know, kind of fascinating. And then the last thing is the Icelandic word or phrase of the episode. With interviews, it can range from an Icelandic person who's an expert in something or has had an experience I find really fascinating, whether I read about them in the paper or someone suggested them to me. And then foreigners, meaning expats or even people like yourself who have visited Iceland and you just have an interesting experience that I would just love to highlight. Because I've thought about, you know, when I saw that, I knew that there were bases or had been a base on in Keflavik area, I was like, oh, I would love to interview somebody like that. And you just happened to, we aligned in, you know, being connected where you were helping me with something for Blueberry. And we just ended up talking about Iceland. And here you are now, you know, about to be on the show. So it's kind of like that. And Iceland is kind of like that too, where your connections to people, it's like, you know, the 6 degrees of separation. It's even less than that here. So I get to be connected with these really fascinating people who just have just different stories to tell or perspectives on things that I would have never even imagined. And I love that. So I mix all of that in together.
Yeah, that's neat. And you were telling me earlier that this interview that you and I did prior to recording our interview for Podcast Insider, you said that was your first remote interview. So you yes. mainly interview in person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so do you yep. go to a location or do they come to you, or how does that usually work?
I normally go to them. I have done some episodes in the library downtown because there's a podcast room in the library, but it's right next to the children's section, which is not the
Sounds
best.
Poor placement to me.
Yeah, it's not a soundproof room either. So I've been in the library a couple of times where I know that typically there are not going to be a lot of children there. But I've been to a lot of people's houses, their offices, places like that. where I know they feel comfortable, just kind of, you know, they're in their own space and they can talk freely. And the sound quality, of course, isn't always the great when we do that, but there is just this like really nice connection of being able to see the person and their reactions to things. And, you know, we end up laughing a lot. That's, I think that's one of the things in my show that it can't be helped, is that there's a lot of laughter because I personally just like to have a good time. And I think that, you know, it gets reflected in maybe some the conversations and what I ask people. It's usually not like an interrogation. It's just, let's just hear about your experience. Talk about whatever flows with you that day and just have a good time.
Yeah, that's you know, my interview style, there's no real style to it. I don't have set questions usually. I just kind of let it flow how it flows. And one of the hardest things for interviewers, this is kind of a tip for those of you that want to do interviews. One of the tips I always say for interviews is let your interviewee talk. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have a hard time with that. And I'm getting better at it. Sometimes I try to interject myself in too much, but anyways, but you know, from the sampling I've heard of your show, you're doing a good job. It really sounds decent and all that. And speaking of geeky, and I told you I was going to do some geeky stuff. What kind of equipment do you use for your recording at home? And is that any different than what you'd take to a remote location?
Yes. So I've changed over time and I still plan on evolving because I am not a techie person in that way. But in the very beginning, I was using a Shure MV88 microphone that went into my phone. So it just like, you know, plugged right into my phone and I was doing interviews from my phone, which was okay. But it doesn't look as nice as a setup when you have, you know, a little tripod and your phone and a microphone. Like people don't feel like it looks professional. And they don't say that though, but I want them to kind of get this feeling of a microphone, the old school one. So I ended up buying a Blue Yeti just because of the look of it, really. I mean, I know that the sound quality is fine, but in the future, I would love to have just individual microphones and a recorder or something like that, or a mixer, something that would just make sure that we're not trying to both speak into the same microphone.
Yeah, that can help. You know, yeah. I've heard some really good podcasts recorded on phones. You know, yeah, the look isn't that great, but sometimes they sound pretty good. And, you know, sometimes you want that ambiance. You know, the Yeti is a condenser mic. Okay, we're getting into Geekville here for a minute.
Yeah.
But Yeti's a condenser mic. And, you know, as long as you're in the right environment and use it properly, you sound decent. And, you know, you certainly sound good here. I do hear a little echo from your room, but you had mentioned that before, that the internet's better there. So that's good.
Yeah, exactly. And when I record at home, I'm normally in the closet. So that's the other thing is that I know, because we live in an apartment with very high ceilings. So when I was first trying to figure out how to get the best sound quality without trying to build a studio or something, I found a woman's account, meaning like her story about how she realized she could record in her closet and get really good sound quality. So I was like, okay, I'm going to try this. So now I have a door that has French doors and I open those up, put a huge blanket over the doors. And I basically like, you know, find my way in to this little cave that I've created with my clothes helping to absorb the sound. So my intros always sound like I've done it in a place that has been either, you know, proofed somehow or treated for sound. And then you can go into my interviews, usually hear the echo a little bit or some reverb, because I'm in an environment that isn't my closet.
Yeah, so it doesn't sound terrible at all. Believe me, I was just, for those listening out there, you know, the environment that you're recording in can be important. But then again, you know, say you're at the library and you got the kids section going on, so you hear some kids playing in the background and all that. That's ambiance.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need to have it all out of the, you know, all the sounds to be perfect. You know, I always tell people, just, you know, as long as it's not painful to listen to,
yes,
you're good. You know,
agreed.
We go to conferences when they're available. You know, of course, during this recording, you're right in the middle of the big COVID-19 lockdown. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so we're not doing conferences and big gatherings or anything. But, you know, I know Todd and I have recorded this show on the floor of the Las Vegas Convention Center during the time when there's 100,000 people in there. And yeah, you hear a little bit of the crowd noise and all that, and it just provides ambiance, you know, your environment. And that's pretty cool.
We probably have really good mics, I'm sure.
Yeah, they're, you know, nothing fancy. A couple of hand mics, nothing super fancy into a, you know, Zoom recorder. So it's, you know, nothing, you know, totally out of reach for sure. Right. And, okay. You know, and you were talking about the closet. That reminds me of a Hall of Fame podcaster, Mignon Fogarty. She does Grammar Girl.
And oh yeah, I know that.
And she records in her closet. She's always done that. Big, you know, she's in a walk-in closet. She's got a little desk in there, and mm-hmm. all the clothes hanging around her, and it's the perfect audio environment. And you know, she's been doing it for 15 plus years, and she's even been on Oprah and all that stuff. So you know, you don't need the super duper equipment all the time.
It's true. Sometimes it's your
environment. And anyway, we'll get off the geeky stuff. I just like to do that. Part of the thing, you know, is with podcasting is, you know, what has that done for you? Have you met a lot of really interesting people? You know, what has podcasting given you back?
Absolutely. For me, when I mentioned about wanting to learn about the culture, it has definitely thrown me into just, first of all, I have random facts. I feel like I'm just like a trivia, walking, talking trivia person about Iceland now because of this. So it'd be great to have on your team if you're ever going to like play trivia about Iceland. But I think in general, what it's done is it's given me my own, I don't know. It feels like a course somehow. You take a class and something, and it's giving me my own homework assignments about learning about the country, about the people. And it's also broken down a lot of assumptions. So I love that when I learn something and if I understand it, that I share it with people. And there is a perception about Iceland and Icelanders, and it's mostly a positive perception, but I think it's good to humanize people. Meaning like, you know, this is not a utopia and that's okay, right? And everybody is kind of doing their best. And there are times where there's corruption or there's scandals or there's really beautiful things that happened or, you know, there's places that people go and maybe they aren't doing their best to protect them. And that's something we need to call attention to. Or you even meet, I met this guy, Jón Gnarr, who is a famous comedian in Iceland. But what he's even more famous for and became famous for this in the world at one point was he became the mayor of Reykjavik. But when he ran, it was a joke. He was just doing it as one of his like comedic, like, you know, performances. He literally said this and what his promises were to break all of his campaign promises. Right. So it's just like, and it was hilarious. And then when he won, he was shocked. And didn't take it seriously at first. Like it was the most fascinating conversation with this guy. And he ended up taking it very serious. And it was right after the crash. And so a lot of things were happening where people were putting a lot of faith in this comedian to like help put things back together with the city. And now, you know, he was under the gun and he was the first mayor in, I think maybe about like, 6 or 7 people who had come before him who actually finished his full term. So many people weren't doing such a good job that they were just being thrown out, voted out and whatever else. So it's just fascinating the different people here, scenarios, everything that happens in the world, you know, on large scales happen to some degree on a small scale in Iceland. And that's what fascinates me is that these micro culture aspects or the fact that you're going to find people in Iceland who maybe, you know, they perform reggae, right? It's just like, what? Do you have reggae artists in Iceland and they perform it in Icelandic? So yeah, there's just so many possibilities here.
Yeah, I remember when I was up there, there was a Hard Rock cafe in some mall or the mall. Mm-hmm. I guess there was probably only one there at the time. And there was a jazz band in there. And okay. Well, first off, it's a rock and roll restaurant, you know, and there's this jazz band in there and they're playing, you know, all this great jazz, and they weren't singing. So it wouldn't matter what language that they talked in, and, you know, but reggae, I don't know.
You know, it's actually quite good. There are a couple of songs. So I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
I don't know.
Island's an island, right?
Yeah, I guess. It's just like, yeah, it's, I think it's cool.
Yeah, very neat, very neat. So you got to interview the mayor of Reykjavik, or probably
the former
mm-hmm. mayor of Reykjavik. That's a cool story for sure. I remember, mm-hmm. you know, way back when, I'm an old guy. I remember there was a comedian that used to run for president here in the U.S. every 4 years, you know, and it was always a big joke. And so I wonder if, what would have happened if he'd have got in there? Jeez.
Right. Exactly. I mean, that's kind of the thing that is so funny about it is your intentions versus, you know, it can just be circumstantial. That's what life is, I think, coming to me about is this, there's so many potential circumstances. And if you play the game, you might actually have to finish it, right? Meaning like someone's going to hold your feet to the fire. And that's about that story that was so fascinating to me is that he just didn't have a choice.
Right.
He'd got himself stuck in something.
Yeah, definitely. Jeez, yeah. And I do remember news of that big financial deal up there, but I think mm-hmm. that was probably before you got there.
Yes, that was in 2008.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And before then, Iceland was riding high. Like they had way better interest than any bank in the US, and people were buying luxury cars left and right, going on lavish vacations. It was a really drastic fall in this country afterwards.
Yeah, I think I had an account with one of the banks up there, but I closed it before I left. So,
okay, darn good it. Move.
Or yeah, maybe good, maybe not. Anyway, so any other memorable interviews?
It's funny that like in some ways a lot of them are memorable, but there's one that I did recently that is my favorite because we hit on like the fact that I'm a woman of color. So I'm from New York City and I don't look like I'm Icelandic, the typical Icelandic, right? So
not from around here, huh? Not from around here, huh?
Yeah, exactly. So what I do like though is that if I go to a store in my town, so I don't live in downtown Reykjavik, I live in a place called Mosfellsbær. But if I go to the store here, they'll automatically speak to me in Icelandic. They'll just assume that I know that, which I do appreciate.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's in downtown where they're used to so many more tourists that they just assume that you speak English, that they do it to everybody now. And some Icelanders get annoyed about that. But with this specific person, it's a professor, or he used to be a professor. He just recently retired. And he wrote a book called The Man That Stole Himself, which is about Hans Jonatan, who had been a slave in St. Croix, and his masters at the time, they went from St. Croix to Denmark because St. Croix was a Danish colony. And at some point he runs away and he ends up in Iceland. And when he comes to Iceland, he is welcomed with open arms in the East Fjords. Even though he doesn't look like a typical Icelander. In fact, they didn't call him a black man. They called him a blue man, which was even more interesting, kind of, you know, random. Yeah. And it was just like, no big deal. He came here and he lived his life and he had a family. He had two children. And that part was just, and this was back in the 1800s, I believe. So it's just, you know, way back. And it was only throughout time that this started to change, meaning like from mainland Europe with racism and that idea ended up coming over to Iceland and people started having, you know, their perceptions about what is considered, you know, Nordic or Aryan or whatever. Right. And he and I just kind of went through this timeline and I just found it super fascinating. And now, I mean, in Iceland, this, like anywhere else, you can find people who are ignorant, but the majority of people are not like that. They're very accepting. They're very kind. They just treat you like a person. And I also very much appreciate that because I was afraid, I wasn't sure what to expect when I came, and it's been a pleasant surprise. And so it was just kind of nice to go through this with him and learn about that part of the history that I can relate to from just, you know, personal perspective, and then coming from the United States and how different it is from there. So it's just, you know, I wouldn't say that's like my ultimate favorite, but it just gave me some insight that I wouldn't ordinarily have access to or have any idea that it existed unless I had decided to meet this guy.
I'll have to get you to give me the title of that book offline here, and I want to go check that out.
Yeah, right.
You know, when I was up there, I didn't, you know, I it seemed to me that they treated everybody just fine, you know, from the base, because, you know, we had just about a little bit of everybody up there on the base, and it seemed that they treated everybody okay. But, you know, I would look like a typical Icelander, you know, blonde haired, not blue eyed, but blonde haired white guy, you know? And so I wouldn't have that experience. A lot of times they did mistake me for Icelanders. I think we told that story, you know, I could just walk into a store and nod and smile for a while and they wouldn't speak English because they didn't know.
Exactly.
So, yeah. But yeah, that sounds very interesting. So, hey, I think we're at the shameless plug section here.
Okay.
how do people find your podcast and maybe you on social media?
Definitely. So All Things Iceland is on Spotify. It's on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, on my website, allthingsiceland.com, which I have different sections. So if you go to episodes in one of the tabs at the top, you see that I categorize everything out so that if you're looking for something specific like travel or interviews or whatever, I've just tried to make it easy because it's so, I've gotten to a point now where I'm at 60 episodes. So there's so many different types of things you can listen to. And if you want to jump in at a specific place rather than there's no need to start from the beginning. So there's just a lot out there, and on Instagram and Facebook, as well as on YouTube, I'm All Things Iceland. I do a lot of different content on each of those. YouTube, of course, video-wise. But on Instagram and my stories, I'm giving a lot of information just about daily life, but also the current situation around COVID-19, which a lot of people have been interested to understand how Iceland has been tackling that. And we're basically almost at flattening the curve. So that has been awesome. But at the same time, we're seeing the effects of the economic consequences, you know, from this virus. But on top of that, I go into like historical facts and talking to different people and just like a lot of fun things. Instagram is kind of my, Instagram and YouTube are my main like favorite
outlets.
Platforms.
I said outlets.
Yeah, outlets. Yeah, because it just, I get a chance to really play around with them. And there's just a lot of video aspects to it. Facebook, I'm playing around a little bit more, but those two, if you really want to connect with me, for sure. And I talk with people in my direct messages all the time on Instagram if they have questions about travel and things like that. So feel free to reach out. Feel free to give a listen. Give me your thoughts. If you have any topics you're really interested in that you haven't seen me cover yet, I am totally open to that. I have a list of requests. So feel free to let me know and I will be happy to add it to the list.
Oh, very good. Well, I'm going to become an avid listener and maybe I'll learn how to speak some Icelandic with your words of the day or words of the week or however you do that.
Yeah, awesome. I even have an episode dedicated specifically, like if you're coming to Iceland, and what phrases you can say if you really want to learn some Icelandic.
Yeah, one of the things I always thought was interesting up there is how people are named. It doesn't follow the tradition, but I'm sure you have an episode about that or will. That's my request.
Yes, I do.
All right. Well, go check that out if you're interested in all things Iceland. Thanks, Jules, for being on Podcast Insider.
My pleasure, Mike. I appreciate it. And thank you for being on All Things Iceland previously.
Oh, yes. That was a pleasure.
All right, Mike, thanks for doing that interview with Jules. And of course, if you want to be on the Podcast Insider, all you got to do is send an email to Todd, Mike, or Mackenzie at blueberry.com. We'll get you scheduled, share your story, share your Genesis story about your podcast and how you're reaching your listeners and what it's doing for you. So definitely drop us a line. We'd love to have you on as a interviewee and be featured here on the Podcast Insider. So let's talk a little bit about what's going on in support, Mike.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of tickets here lately. You know, as Todd was saying, you know, a lot of our users are using PowerPress and WordPress, which we love. But they're also using page builder apps like Divi Builder, Beaver Builder. There's a few others. And those are great for the website and for pages and for things like that. But you got to be aware that those things can mess with the RSS feed if you use them for podcast posts. And you do have the option when you're using those page builders, or WYSIWYGs or whatever you call them. I mean, there's a whole bunch of them out there. But you do have an option to drop to the stock default WordPress editor. And I highly suggest doing that. Now, you can test with it. You know, if you really want to, you know, if you think you have to use a builder, you know, some of them work okay. Some versions of them work okay. But be aware when it updates. You know, when you get an update for Divi, you know, double check that because it can mess with your RSS feed. And what it does is it puts extra little things in there that RSS doesn't like.
Yeah, they don't really have much regard for RSS. We've had to battle this for years. So just be aware, again, if you are using those types of applications, when they do an update, they very rarely care because to them, RSS is...
It's secondary.
It's a secondary thing. And for you, your RSS feed is your primary thing. It's how you stay online, how you stay on the air. So again, Mike's Classic Editor, that's a plugin that you can download from WordPress that will work well. And again, if you use blocks, just make sure you're running your feed through a feed validator like Cast Feed Validator.
Yep.
And that will help you a lot. So let's talk about options for Blueberry hosting, how you decide.
Yeah, we were, you know, talking about it a little earlier, but there's really four ways to use Blueberry hosting. And, you know, two of them are similar. Well, actually, you know, there's really two, but four different kind of variations, and not to get too geeky here. But, you know, the number one way we suggest is having your own WordPress site using PowerPress or a website provided by Blueberry. And that's also WordPress using PowerPress.
Yeah, so we bake it in. So when you get a free WordPress site from us, PowerPress is preloaded. You go and set it up, you're good to go. So That's really kind of the same way. One is we provide you the site. The second is you have your own site. And second, we provide you a site.
Yeah, because we like you to promote you. You know, when you come to podcastinsider.com, now that forwards to Blueberry subpage, whatever. But, you know, on your Geek News Central, when someone comes to geeknewscentral.com, that's you. And, you know, whether Blueberry exists in the future or not, that site is still yours and it's still there.
Yep.
And that's the number one way we like to do it.
I call it an extinction proof. You're not going to have an extinction event depending on some business or some, you're going to be online.
Sure.
Yeah.
And like I said, that's kind of our core value here at Blueberry is, you know, do that. But we do have other options. You can use our Blueberry Publisher to publish right from blueberry.com. And that works. And, you know, for some people, that's, you know, just a simpler way for them to do it. And that's similar to how, you know, all the other podcast hosts out there do it.
Yeah, it's like Anchor and Podbean and all those sites. And we give you a landing page for your show.
Right.
So, you know, so that is, again, an option if you just want to have a get up and go and not worry about, you know, really building your brand. You set this up. You're going to have this over on all the normal destinations, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, all these locations. If you want to just use the publisher, you can do that as well. But there's also using Blueberry with a third-party site. So this would be someone that's on Wix or Squarespace, or we ran into a customer the other day that was using Drupal. Yeah. So you can use the Blueberry Publisher just like you do, and we provide you an RSS feed that is super powerful, super fast. And number two, we allow you to take an embed, a player embed, and stick that on, and you'll be able to modify that a little bit and put that embed on your whatever website, Drupal, Wix, Squarespace, wherever it is, and have a player on your blog post along with a feed to submit to all those locations.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's a viable way of doing it. Like I said, we like WordPress, of course. That's our specialty.
Again, we're not locked into WordPress. Yeah. So you can basically, we're a jack of all trades. We'll serve you wherever you're at. Exactly. We haven't found a site yet that doesn't work with us.
Yep, exactly.
So let's talk a little bit about stats basics.
Yeah. And the reason I'm bringing up these kind of basic things is we're getting a lot of new podcasters out there. And one of the things that podcasters, especially new ones, like to obsess on is stats. So there's some things that stats can show you and certain things that it really can't. And it's a technical issue and also kind of a privacy issue.
Right.
So, downloads, that's the basic stat for podcasting. And that doesn't mean strictly people that download it to their computer. It means anybody that plays it or downloads it, it looks the same to the server. Mm-hmm. So, a play, if you're streaming, quote unquote, the show, it's actually downloading while playing. So that's what do you guys call it on new media shows? Active plays or I forget what you said. But, that's how those work. But a download is a download is a download, regardless of whether you're playing it at the same time. And that's, like I said, the basic stat for podcasters. Downloads per episode seem to be the thing that everybody, wants to know, especially for advertisers.
Right.
And then, we can tell you where in the world the download comes from. We break it out by country, by state, by even, DMA, which is a broadcast market area in the U.S. And, so we could tell you where the downloads are coming from. We could tell you what apps were used to download it. So Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, whatever. We can tell you more or less what all those are. And, if you're getting a whole lot of play on one platform or another, you might want to mention the other platforms in your show just to make sure that that people know you're available in these other places. But as we always say, promote your own website, but it's a whole other thing. And we can, on certain downloads, if you have our advanced stats, show you how long somebody listened to it or actually how much of the file actually got downloaded. So that works for those active plays. So if someone listens for 10 minutes and then goes and does something else, we can show that, okay, a certain percentage of that file got delivered and not all of it. One thing we cannot tell you is the overall subscriber number. A lot of people want that number, and you can kind of figure it out. I know you have a way of figuring it out, Todd, and I have a different way, but they both sort of give you an idea. But subscriber numbers are nearly impossible to, across the board, measure.
Yeah, and you basically have to look at trending. You have to look at your long-term trending of your show, episode to episode, to see where it's at. And I like looking at the trending line in the stats to maybe look over a month or two-month period and see where the show is trending-wise from a download standpoint. Another thing you'll look at is the first 24 hours. If you look at your stats, you release an episode, and the first 24 hours, look at that number, and then look at what the rest of the numbers are beyond 24 hours, then you get a pretty good idea who are subscribers and who are actually coming in just hit and play, because the subscribers get the show immediately. As soon as the show is published, podcatchers stop downloading, and usually within 24 hours, all the podcatchers have downloaded the episode already, and then anything that comes in after the first 24 hours is basically people that are hitting play on multiple devices.
Either so that or newly subscribed.
Yeah, you can actually get a pretty good idea what's going on with your audience, but you just got to look at the data and kind of do some trending. But there's really no way to tell what your exact subscriber number is, right? But you can come pretty close. You look at Apple Podcasts, look at all the apps and see what that number is too. Add that up, and that, if they're subscribed via the app, take all the app numbers and then exclude everything else. You probably know what your true subscribers are than what the rest are active listeners. People that are pressing play at some location, Spotify or
in the Blueberry podcast stats. You pick an episode that's around 30 days old is what I like to do. And then you go to, I think it's platforms, but it'll tell you whether it was an app or whether it was a web browser. So you just eliminate the web browser number, and that's kind of your rough estimate of people that are using apps to download your show, maybe not subscribers, but close enough. And then the last thing we really can't tell you a whole lot about is demographic information. That would be kind of a privacy thing. And, podcast listening is more or less an anonymous activity. So you know, your ISP can tell, and sometimes the app developer can tell who, you know, what you're listening to. But for the most part, we don't report that. We can't report that because we don't get that information. You know, unless you do like a survey for your show, that's the best way to get demographics anyway. I remember somebody asked me one time, they said, hey, we're running a contest and the first 10 subscribers get a prize. Can you tell me, you know, email addresses of the first 10 subscribers on my show? And I'm like, no, I can't. We don't know that stuff.
So everyone, it's if you're tuned into Podcast Insider, we definitely appreciate you being subscribed and hope you stay subscribed. If you're watching us live, if you want to listen to the full interview that Mike did with the gal in Iceland, I think that's worthy of a, even if you slide through and just listen to the interview, that would be great. Those of you that have been joining us live, we will be continuing to do this every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern for the foreseeable future. You can join us. And if you have any questions in the chat room, you can definitely draw a chat. We can respond here. But everyone that's listening via podcast, I definitely appreciate it. I want to thank you for your ongoing support. And again, we're here for you if you need us. And submit a ticket, dial in. If you don't get someone on the line, leave a message.
Yeah, we will get back to you for sure.
Get back to you. But anyway, go over to podcastinsider.com. We'll see you next time here on Podcast Insider. Take care. Bye-bye.